Hey everyone, my name is James Baca, known professionally as the Notorious Banker, and welcome to my podcast. 30,000 amazing followers on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. Threads only got like 30 people, but it's going to go up, you know, it just takes time. We're here live and on location in Fort Worth, Texas at the Luxurious Omni Hotel. It's a great hotel. Fort Worth is a great city. It's a little rustic and old. It reminds me a lot of, you know, New Mexico, all the Old West stuff. I don't really see as much city life down here as I would, like in Dallas, for instance. It's a little bit slower, a little bit older crowd. I've never been here before, but I like it. This is my last full day here, and I've made 2 grocery store runs. So that tells you how I have my fun. You know, I go to the grocery store and I look for deals. I look for unique products. I'm staring at a bag of spicy dill pork rinds as we speak. What's the JFK Memorial, the JFK side of his assassination and whatnot. So it's been a full trip. I got blisters on my feet, so I know it was a full trip and some good food. But enough about me. Let's talk about why we're here. This is a special edition of the Notorious Banker podcast. Bank of America is going to pay $250 million, $100 million to harm consumers, and $150 million in penalties to the CFPB and the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. A lot of those in there. My friend Patrick Rooker, who's a really great reporter, posted on Twitter. I was in some coffee shop here in Fort Worth, and I saw the story. And, of course, we talked about it last year. Here we are almost a full year later, and Bank of America was given a penalty. Now, the interesting thing is here, there is some perspective for what happened here based on what I used to do as a personal banker, relationship manager, whatever bullshit you want to call it. That's what I was, and that's what I did. I can tell you one thing. I never opened up a quote fake account. I never opened up an unauthorized account. And a reminder, whenever Wells Fargo has always talked about the quote fake account scandal, I always say, don't call them fake accounts. They're unauthorized accounts, because the fake accounts are actually real, with real fees, real issues, real problems. Bank of America was penalized $100 million. They have to give to consumers, and then the rest of it is in penalties and fines for unauthorized accounts that were open up. So this is straight from the CFPB. I'm going to read here and give you some perspective. As I mentioned, Patrick Rooker, a great reporter, someone who I've talked to a couple times, posted on Twitter, and I saw it, and I finished up my awesome nitro latte and hightailed it over here to the hotel room where I'm recording on a phone instead of my microphone and stuff. But it says, today the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau ordered Bank of America to pay $100 million to customers for systematically double-dipping on fees imposed on customers with insufficient funds in their account, withholding reward bonuses explicitly promised to credit card customers, and misappropriating sensitive personal information to open accounts without customer knowledge or authorization. We'll get to that one in a second, because that one's interesting to me. The OCC also found that the bank's double-dipping on fees was illegal. Bank of America will pay a total of $90 million in penalties to the CFPB and $60 million in penalties to the OCC. A reminder that the fees, excuse me, that Bank of America pays $90 million to CFPB and $60 million fees. I mean, we're talking less than a day's worth of profit, you know, from Bank of America. That's just the way that it is sometimes. Like, you know, they make, what, $10 billion every 3 months. So, you know, $150 million, you know, whenever people say, oh, it's a rounding error. I mean, it's not an error. That's a lot of money. I can live on 1% of that for the rest of my life. But it's a blip on the radar for Bank of America, especially for the amount of money that they generate in new consumer and small business accounts and whatnot. CFPB Director Rohit Chopra said, Bank of America wrongfully withheld credit card rewards, double-dipped on fees, and opened accounts without consent. These practices are illegal and undermine customer trust. The CFPB will be putting an end to these practices across the banking system. So, my personal opinion, I think they're over. I think the way that they were doing things is over, just simply because I was there when the controls started. There was controls that the bank instituted to make sure that stuff like that didn't happen again. And the CFPB thing, it says, you know, Bank of America has $2.4 trillion in assets and $1.9 trillion in domestic deposits. second largest bank in the United States. Bank of America harmed hundreds of thousands of consumers over a period of several years across multiple product lines and services. Bank of America deployed a double-dipping scheme to harvest junk fees. Bank of America had a policy of charging customers $35 after the bank had declined the transaction because the customer did not have enough funds. The CFPB's investigation found that Bank of America double-dipped by allowing fees to be repeatedly charged for the same transaction. I refer to that as playing tennis. Every time that the business would try to lob the charge over Bank of America, Bank of America would overhand volley it back to the business and charge $35. Business would try it a second time, overhand volley a second time, and then that's another $35 fee. That would typically happen two or three times, sometimes more, until the business actually would stop trying to charge. But after that, Bank of America got you for $140 in fees. Now, Bank of America did get rid of that particular type of practice. There are controls now. The overdraft fees are $10 instead of $35 now. But the reason they got rid of it, and let's be frank here, is because things like this were happening and they were horribly unethical. It used to suck, and El Paso Electric, the electric company in my area, would do that. They would automatically draft your account for your monthly bill. You didn't have enough money. The bank would charge you a fee. Guess what? El Paso Electric would charge you a fee too, and then they'd try again, and you would get charged a fee by the bank again, and El Paso Electric will charge you a fee again. So you were getting double dipped on both sides of it. So if that happened twice and over the course of one pay period in a month, that's $140 in fees, you know, $150 in fees. I think it's $45 at El Paso Electric. So people were getting charged a lot of money for things they had no control over. They couldn't stop it. And if you call and say, stop the auto pay, okay, it will happen in 1 to 2 monthly cycles. And they're like, shit, this is going to happen again and again. It was ridiculous. Bank of America has kind of changed their ways for that. And I'm happy for it. I'm really glad for it. But at the same time, it's just, you know, it sucks. What can I say? There's no other way to put it. It sucks. I had to catch my breath there. I usually do this in multiple takes. You know, I segment it whenever I'm recording. So I press pause on my iPhone here. Withheld cash and points rewards on credit cards. To compete with other credit card companies, Bank of America targeted individuals with special offers of cash and points when signing up for a credit card. Bank of America illegally withheld promised credit card account bonuses such as cash rewards or bonus points to tens of thousands of consumers. The bank failed to honor rewards promises for consumers who submitted in-person or over-the-phone applications. The bank also denied sign-up bonuses to consumers due to the failure of Bank of America's business processes and systems. Again, that changed over the course of time. I was at Bank of America. I really feel that when people started bitching and complaining about these type of things, the bank started putting in controls years ago. If there was a targeted offer, and there are targeted offers all the time for, let's be honest, rich people, people that the bank wants. Bank doesn't want poor people. Banks want the cream of the crop, the people who stay at the Omni Hotel in Fort Worth, for God's sakes. And they'll say, you know, Bank of America without promised credit card bonuses. I know it's illegal. I know it was probably incorrect, but what would happen is you would get a targeted offer from Bank of America's website, or Bank of America would send you an email saying, hey, just for you, a special $500 offer if you spend $1,000 in 90 days and so on and so forth. So some people don't like to do applications online. So what they would do is they print this stuff out. They'd go to old James, the notorious banker, to go open the account. And I would not see that particular offer. It would say that this person has a credit card offer for the cash rewards card or whatever, but it wouldn't say $500 bonus if they spend $1,000 or whatever. That was targeted through the web channel. But if I was an unethical person, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never done this before. I did this before, because guess what? The cool thing about someone coming in wanting a credit card is you get the credit for it, even though they're the ones that made the decision. So it's the easiest sell of the day. So you do the application. It wasn't even an application. Everything was pre-filled already because the bank's internal system. And once they started going through Salesforce, and they had this thing called the platform side for Bank of America, you would have all this stuff pre-filled. So all you got to do is basically ask them a couple of questions in regards to income and, you know, where do you work and how much do you make and, you know, how long have you lived at your address? And that card would instantly go there, and you would lie to them and say, hey, once you get the card activated, call the 1-800 number, make a small purchase, go to Walgreens, buy a stick of gum, And once you do that, the card's ready to go and start earning your rewards right away. The second that they activated that card and made a small purchase, I got 3 times the amount of sales credit that I would get just for simply getting the card approved. I wanted them to use the card. Credit card usage was part of my sales goal. So whenever they say withheld cash and points rewards, I don't think it was necessarily nefarious. I think they just made it so vague, saying you have to go to bankofamerica.com in order to apply for this card and get that special bonus. They didn't have the same rewards bonuses on the banking side, the platform side, or over the phone, for instance. And that was on purpose. They wanted people to not go to bankers anymore. So when they didn't want people to go to bankers anymore, what would happen is, you know, they would be afraid to do it online because old people are afraid of the internet because, you know, 2020 and all the local news channels is telling, hey, you know, watch out. There's people snooping on your computer right now. And guess what would happen? They'd go to the bank and print it out and say, you know, I don't trust the internet. I would like you to apply for this for me. And then I do it and I get the credit for it and they get screwed out of their rewards. But guess what? When they call and complain, they don't complain to about me. They don't say, hey, James promised us his rewards and he didn't give us anything. They have a piece of paper that says, hey, Bank of America promises. It goes up the chain a different way. I don't get in trouble for it. But inevitably, the bank gets a complaint saying, hey, we didn't get these cash rewards. Now, here's the most important one. It says, misuse sensitive customer information to open unauthorized accounts. From at least 2012, in order to reach now disbanded sales-based incentive goals and evaluation criteria, first of all, I don't believe that. There's sales goal. There's always going to be a sales goal, okay? It's just the fact of nature. Although the sales goals are different than when I was there, there are goals for credit cards getting approved and usage and whatnot. Why would you put someone in a sales role if they're not going to sell? Trust me on this. It says Bank of America employees illegally applied for and enrolled consumers in credit card accounts without customer knowledge or authorization. In those cases, Bank of America illegally used or obtained consumers' credit reports without their permission to complete applications. Because of Bank of America's actions, consumers were charged unjustified fees, suffered negative effects to their credit profiles, and had to spend time correcting errors. So that's what I mentioned. You know, fake accounts are not fake accounts. And Rohit Chopra and the CFPB said it correctly, unauthorized accounts. So when they illegally applied for and enrolled consumers in credit card accounts without their knowledge or authorization, you got to understand that when a rich person or someone with good credit walks into your office, the credit report has already been taken. I don't pull the credit report as a banker. Some system somewhere, and every system is connected. How does someone who makes $1 million a year go into Bank of America and instantly get approved for a credit card? Through check systems, through early warning systems, all these companies share data with each other. And that's why we know who's in front of us whenever we walk, when they walk into the door, even if we've never met them before, okay? So it's interesting to me that this is such a, like, oh my God, why did they do this? Whatever. Every bank does it. I can walk into Bank of America right now and not get approved for a credit card, by the way. But I mean, they know who I am based on the profile. When they type in my social security number, they get my driver's number. There's some data somewhere that says, hey, guess what? This person is a customer that you want to do business with. On Salesforce at Bank of America, we had a list of the top 100 clients in our area. I would say 90% of them did not bank with Bank of America. It's just that system, however they got that information, I don't know. I'm smart, but I'm not that damn smart. That system knew who the people to target. And, you know, whenever we're doing outbound calls, we would look at that. We weren't supposed to make calls to certain people, but at the same time, we knew who these people were, even if they didn't know who we were. So it says, interesting here, from at least 2012. So I don't know the data for Chopra and CFPB here, but let's just, you know, hypothesize that all the unauthorized credit card accounts were during my time, 2012 to 2018. One big thing that changed right around 2013, 2014 or so, was something called the customer authorization form. Yeah, that's right. It's about 2014 because my old boss was still my boss at that time. So anytime you would change an address, anytime you would ask for a debit card, a customer would ask for a debit card, anytime someone would open up a savings account, which they were already a customer, an existing customer, or, you know, anything like that that required me to actually physically see their ID, I would have to print out what was called a customer authorization form, would say, well, I helped James Baca on 7/11/2023. He presented a New Mexico driver's license ending in 12345, expiration date July 2029. And then I would check, is it for debit card or is it for new account? Ever, I check a box. And then I'd sign as a banker and put the date on there. And before the customer left, at least in my branch, in my region, we'd have to give that form to our manager saying, hey, this person asked for a debit card. I saw their ID. They had a credit card offer. They had an offer for a home refinance, and they said no. So there was controls in after 2012. So 2013, 2014, there was already controls to make sure that if someone was opening an account, that they have a signature that says, oh, look, you signed for it. That means you knew that we were opening that account for you. If I didn't have an authorization form, then it could theoretically be called a fake account. And that's when you would lose your job in 2 seconds, trust me. Ironically enough, when I lost my job in 2018, it was kind of insinuated that the customer I helped, whose name was Stephanie, was not a real person because she never used the account that I opened for her. And in reality, whenever that happened and I caused my own, let me rephrase that. I overrode the system, which I was allowed to do as a manager to open her account because she had an Indiana driver's license. So when I overrode the system, I authorized myself to say, hey, I viewed her ID. I was a manager. That's what I was able to do. So whenever she deposited a $20 check to open the account and she never deposited anything again, the bank thought that maybe I was like feeding the account money to create new accounts for me, which is why I think that it was easier for them to let me go, although I did not do that. This was a girl that I talked to who was a waitress at this cafe, and we hit it off because she was a writer. I was a writer too and stuff. So I understand when I got fired in 2018 that some of those controls actually probably led to my demise. But at the same time, I will tell you this, and I rarely stick up for Bank of America. That stuff that happened for the unauthorized accounts, most of that had to have been in a 2-3 year period from 2012 to, let's say, 2015 or so, because we had the consumer authorization forms and those things were non-negotiable. You could not get away with not turning one in, especially if it's an existing customer opening up a new credit card or something, because the fact of the matter is this. It wasn't on you. It's not like you don't have the authorization form that says, you know, fuck you, you're fired because you didn't turn in this form. It was like, fuck you, your manager's fired, because what would happen is in an audit, a bank audit, the auditor would come in and ask for the authorization forms. And you'd have to print out the sheets showing we had 4 authorization forms on July 10th, 5 on July 11th. She has the list. She matches up the paperwork with that. Make sure they're correctly filled. Make sure they're dated right. Make sure you signed it. Make sure the customer signed it. So the controls there were, if you didn't do an authorization form and, you know, you open an account for someone or whatever, and then the auditor came, you would probably get fired relatively easy for not having that form. And like I said, that form is only for existing customers only. But your manager would get a write-up, and your manager would get his or her bonus withheld based on a failing or passing audit. So if you failed an audit because of your shit, you cost your manager her quarterly and yearly bonus, which is something that did happen to my old manager a couple of times for things that I didn't do, but things that the bank did. There would be hell to pay, and jobs will be lost, and people would get severely punished for doing such things. So I really think that the bank changed their tune with that. It says, obtain the consumer credit reports without permission. We don't obtain it as bankers. We don't have that information. We don't have their credit score. We're not allowed to have their credit score. But the bank has all that information, and they do these informal credit pulls behind the scenes all the time. That's why they know whenever, you know, Mr. Rockefeller walks into the branch, they know he's a rich asshole. He has a lot of money. And guess what? He has 2 credit card applications that are pre-selected, pre-approved, whatever you want to call it, to get approved to bank with Bank of America. So, yes, they do get all this information. I don't know how they do it. That's not my bag. That's not my line of banking. But I think that's how these targeted things work, period, end of story. So it says this is not the first enforcement action Bank of America has faced for illegal activity. It says Bank of America in 2014 had to pay $727 million to redress its victims for illegal credit card practices. May 2022, ordered to pay a $10 million civil penalty over unlawful garnishments. And then $225 million later in 2022 and required to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in redress to consumers for botched disbursement of state unemployment benefits at the height of the pandemic. And as you know, yours truly, the notorious banker James Baca, fought hard, long and hard for people in Nevada, California, any place that Bank of America was the proprietor, California especially, where Bank of America ran the unemployment office, and they were doing Bank of America things to withhold money from people during the pandemic, up to and including closing down branches for months due to technical difficulties or due to circumstances beyond our control, not filling ATMs because everyone was getting a weekly unemployment check with the extra bonus money. They were withdrawing it, zapping the ATMs. They didn't want to fill the ATMs again, so guess what? They just closed the ATMs down. They're like, why did they fill the ATMs? Because it cost them money to order money. And, Brian Moynihan said pre-pandemic that they spent something like $5 billion on moving cash around from place to place or whatever. And part of the era of electronic banking is to kind of get rid of that. So the $225 million, that's a rounding error. They probably would have spent that much just on ordering and moving money around to ATMs across California and places where they ran unemployment. So they saw it as like, hey, we'll take the fine. We'll probably get fined, but we save this much money in the long run. So when I see that fine, in retrospect, I'm like, well, yeah, they did that, but they probably saved money by not doing that and by screwing over the customers, So the CFPB orders Bank of America to stop doing this. Okay, well, thank you, Dad. Bank of America must stop opening unauthorized accounts, and the bank must disclose material limitations on rewards card bonuses and provide bonuses as advertised. And I think this is going to be worse since they don't have sales-based incentives. They're going to actually push people to go online to do it. It's like, hey, if you want to do this, go to bankofamerica.com, enter in your offer code, and get the $200 bonus. They're not going to let people open those accounts up in the branch. And there will probably be controls, and there probably already is controls, to make sure that you push that customer outside of the bank's four walls. Trust me on that. If they don't have sales goals within branches, although I did say that they probably still do have it, those particular customers, they probably will give you a pass and say, send them to the website to make sure that they're properly, redressed or whatever the word is the CFPB uses. I've never used that word in my life. And here's the word again, pay redress to harm consumers. So $80.4 million in consumer redress. It says the bank must also compensate consumers who incurred costs for stemming from the unauthorized open of new credit card accounts. And the interesting thing about that is the cost stemming from the unauthorized opening of credit card. If the person did not use the card, they didn't get charged anything unless it was a partially secured card, unless it was a fully secured card, or unless those people who illegally opened up those accounts got them like a fucking, excuse my language, like an Alaska Airlines card or like the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines card, which had a $79, $99 fee, whatever. Those are the only costs that would be involved. Most of Bank of America's standard cards, the AmeriCard, Travel Rewards, Cash Rewards, have no annual fee. No annual fee whatsoever. So any fees incurred, and it would be stupid if someone got the card unauthorized, activated it, used it at the store, got charged a late fee, got charged interest. Like, you goddamn people at the bank are ripping me off or whatever. I don't want someone to get money from that, and that's my personal opinion. But if someone got approved for a partially secured card where it was, $99 deposit for $500 of credit limit, and, people weren't aware of that, then yes, absolutely, redress them, give them some money for that. But I don't know about that. I mean, just because, like I said, the typical pre-approved card or card that we would push had no annual fee on it. So, I don't know. $90 million in penalties to the CFPB, $60 million to charge repeat non-sufficient funds fees. That's the playing tennis one. The $30 million for credit card reward practices. The penalties will be deposited into the CFPB Victims Relief Fund. And it says separately, Bank of America will pay a $60 million penalty to the OCC for its double dipping fee practices. And, you know, the civil penalty fund through Dodd-Frank in 2010, that money is going to be there. People get paid through there. And, you know, all the particulars that are very nerdy and very boring, I don't want to bore you with it. But the fact is that these systems are in place for CFPB to protect consumers. I'm fine with that 100%. But I'm doing this podcast simply because the fine that Bank of America incurred today, in my personal opinion, and there's not a lot of context on the CFPB's release itself, this stuff had to have happened several years ago, even when I was still working there. There's no way in God's green earth that this happened during COVID, especially in the branches, because I know that they did suspend sales goals for the rest of 20 and 21 for sure. And although, as I mentioned, I'm not certain about the sales goals now that they have, you know, I'm not certain about what's going on with how they deal with that branch to branch. I can say with certainty that it's not the way that it was before. And the whole unauthorized accounts or harvesting fees, all that stuff, there's a lot of controls within a branch, like I said, making sure you document people's IDs and get their signatures to make sure that they're aware of that. And that's just not a cover your ass thing for the individual who's helping that customer. That's for the bank, the branch itself, the region, the market, which is bigger than the region, which would probably include DFW where I'm at here. So if I screw up in Las Cruces, New Mexico, someone in this downtown is going to be like, that son of a bitch in that hick town, he didn't fill out an authorization form, now he cost me my money. Trust me, there's controls for that. But of course, Bank of America being Bank of America, and this is just another example of Bank of America doing unauthorized things. And I hate to say that I was a part of it from my time starting working at Bank of America almost 18 years ago now, in 2005. I'm getting old. I have gray in my beard. What the hell is going on? It's weird, it's unique, but you know what? It's something that I know and something I feel passionate about. And I haven't done a lot of podcasts in the last couple of months simply because I'm writing a couple of books and I'm really trying to work my way through it. I had writer's block. I was dealing with depression and whatnot. It was frustrating. It was a frustrating existence for about 6 weeks there. And I'm trying to get over it. I got some good things brewing, trust me. But Bank of America today, man, Bank of America today getting fined this tells me that the wheels of justice are still moving. And although Bank of America, admittedly, in my personal opinion, has done a heck of a job getting rid of overdraft fees, something that I will say you're welcome to, because if not for people like yours truly and other people online, this would not be a thing. I don't think President Biden would be talking about junk fees with Ticketmaster and banks and whatnot, if not for the dedication of people online to, you know, the cause, the people who do these crazy things and say, you know, fuck overdraft fees and, you know, banks are, you know, scamming us every single day or whatever. You know, he's hearing the people, his people at least are hearing the people, and these things are happening as a result of it. So I'm really glad for that. But I will not be shy in taking credit for the conversation, because that's something I think about. That's something that I know. That's something that I believe in, and something that I know that I was a part of. And you know, the Notorious Banker has been a part of for 5 years now. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to wrap up this emergency podcast here from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to go to the little gardens park across the street over here. My wife and I want to go to Bucky's because that's the touristy thing to do. The world's biggest gas station, sell a bunch of bullshit in there that's probably overpriced. But, you know, it's something that you see people on TikTok, social media doing. They it's part of their rite of passage whenever they're on a road trip or whatever. So I'm going to do that. I'm also going back to the grocery store to cash in some crazy rewards because they have some food products in this particular grocery store that we do not have in New Mexico. And one of them is PIVB, Mr. Piv. People say it's like Dr. Pepper. It's not like Dr. Pepper, okay? Period, end of story. It is my favorite drink in the world. They only can it and bottle it in DFW within a 10-hour radius of where I live. And it's something that I rarely get to have in can and bottle form, so I'm going to do just that. So I'm going to wrap it up here, take a shower, shave my head, and get ready to experience the world of Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to have a couple of blogs about this vacation coming up on The Notorious Banker. Substack.com. It's in regards to hotels and how they handle customer service issues and customer service complaints. I personally have not had any complaints at the two hotels I've stayed at. Omni Hotel, thank you very much. Aloft Arlington, thank you very much. But there were some issues within the stays themselves that would be issues to other people, and how the hotels handled it was totally different in each one. But it was actually really professional at the same time. So I want to give shout-outs where shout-outs are due. So look for my blog, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. You can follow me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, at @notoriousbanker. 30,000 plus strong, keep on going. We're continuing to talk about fighting the good fight for consumers, whether it be banks or other things. I have branched out to other customer service stuff as well. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast, listen to it, leave a 5-star review. But until we meet again, my friends, my name is James Baca, known professionally as the Notorious Banker, signing off. Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to go enjoy my vacation, blood blisters on my toes or not. You have a great day.